Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
On tomorrow's show, we will talk White Sox and Cubs with Russ Dorsey, our friend over at Bally's and Stadium. We will also check in on the Bears because mandatory minicamp is going on and Robert Quinn hasn't shown up to mandatory minicamp. And Ryan Poles is going to have to deal with this. Parkinson Spiegel going to have to deal with it too. They're with you until 6 o'clock. Hello, boys.
Welcome back, Lawrence. How you doing, man?
Thank you, thank you. I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing well, doing well. I was thinking about you. You never regret going on vacation, right? No one ever regrets vacation. No one ever regrets time off. But, whew, your White Sox found themselves into some drama.
And you know what, Danny? I didn't get a vacation from them.
Yeah?
I didn't allow myself to get a vacation from them, and quite honestly, that's on me.
I'm sorry to hear that.
You paid too close attention. You couldn't keep yourself from watching certain items.
You were watching games?
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, good for you.
You
bless
better
your
believe
heart.
It.
Where'd
the
you
My
go?
Teams app, the My Teams app is real.
Oh, man. Well,
it's upsetting, isn't it?
It really is. Like, I don't want to pity you. Like, that's not right. No one likes that. But it's just, it's been such an unlikable stretch that to get away, I felt like would have been, you know, needed.
Well,
and
like,
refreshing.
You try to get away from it, Danny, and then, you know, you're on the Twitter. You're scrolling. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
He did what?
Oh yeah, he did. He did.
And then you end up right there and you go, oh, this is bad. This is really bad. And you're the guy at the game. Tony, what are you doing? Got two strikes.
Well, I suppose if you spend a normal day, like you watch the game for 4 hours and then you process it and work on the radio for another, whatever it is, 5 or 6, you know, that kind of thing. At least you're not doing that 5 or 6. At least you were doing something else on vacation.
No, you're right. That speaks, you do get a little bit of a mental break of it. And that's the weird thing. Like, part of the reason why we have great jobs is because they're our hobbies. Like, we get to talk about the things that we would probably be doing anyway. And in this case, like, I have this moment where my hobby was causing me great pain. When I was gone at the end of May, and I was watching White Sox games while I was in the desert and watching sports and just enjoying sports. Like, man, I love sports. And then there are those times when you end up having to watch White Sox games. You're like, man, I hate sports right now.
I feel like I try very hard to get away, but there's always that balance of like the sports that we watch for work and then the sports that we watch that don't really like we can talk about the NBA finals.
Yeah, man.
We're not doing a ton of national NBA all the time. So like,
right.
That's a pure joy one for me. Golf
me too,
is,
Danny,
is
me
that
too,
way.
Danny. I'm sorry, but yeah, I was feeling that last night. Like, you know, I know that we'll talk some NBA finals, and you and I both know that each other loves the NBA, and so we've enjoyed the conversations, whether it's on air or off air, it kind of doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
Because how could I not watch this and enjoy Andrew Wiggins' ascension and wonder why Jason Tatum shot the ball so terribly in the final, 8-9 minutes, and just all that drama. And I was the only guy awake in my house, just, you know, kind of watching it and enjoying it, and that was purely for fun last night, without a doubt.
Wiggins is a fun one to talk about with you guys. So like, I covered him his one and done year at KU,
Kansas,
yeah. Right? So it was a huge deal. Like that, Andrew Wiggins and Joel Embiid were on the same KU team, and they were a huge tournament disappointment. It's one of Bill Self's biggest tournament flops in terms of talent had versus actual output. In season, right? First and third picks of the draft. But he came in with so much damn hype, Andrew Wiggins did. His nickname was Maple Jordan. Like, they were talking about him being the best player from Canada before he had ever played a college basketball game. It was all this crazy hype. And now here he is, a decade later, basically. That was the 2013 college basketball season. We're in the 2022 NBA season. Been basically a decade. And he's the best player on the floor in Game 5 of the NBA Finals, having signed a couple of massive contracts, been labeled a bust, and not been able to really produce anything. He was thought of as not being a winning player, underachieving for his athleticism, selfish, just about the money. Why can a guy who can jump that high get so few rebounds? But then he ends up on the best organization in the sport, and he's legitimately better than Tatum and Curry last night.
Well, it's a great story, and it's really interesting, and it's telling about a lot of things. I mean, my first thought is the human nature aspect of it, of you are a chosen star, go lead us, versus now, which is a complimentary player. I know he's great, and he was great last night.
But he's great in Game 4, too.
Yes, he was, but he's not expected to be that. And that system's really good and comforting for players who can do a lot of things and are skilled, and it's open, it's free, it's encouraging. You know what he reminded me of last night? And obviously, they're not the same kind of player, but in some ways, like, he's the Sean Livingston of this bunch, you know? Like, he's that extra guy that you're like, oh, wow. Yeah, he could probably be the main dog on some teams. And obviously, Livingston was coming off all the horrific injuries. But remember how great he was in that kind of role on that team? Wiggins, he's not shooting well from three, but he can attack and fill in those lanes, and he's gotten very comfortable with his aggressiveness because the system is so free, and he's like third option on that court.
I also think that what this does, like the way that he's playing here, is another testament to the concept of culture. And some people prefer their culture to be different. Like, there are a lot of people that believe in the thought of Heat culture, and you got to be in the best physical shape of your life, and you got to be willing to be pushed. When I look at what Steve Kerr has built out here in the Bay, I'm so amazed by it. Because whenever we see him mic'd up and talking to players over the last few years, you really do get a sense that his approach to getting the best out of players is what you love. Like, if you were being coached, like, it's him being incredibly supportive, but also very targeted. I want you to do blank. and only worry about blank. I don't know what it is that he does. I know that people in the NBA are studying it, and I'm sure there are plenty that are trying to copy it. But the environment that he creates allows for, well, what did we say last week, Speaks? They play jazz, right? As a basketball team, they play jazz. And I don't know if any of that is you're capable of doing all of that if Count Basie isn't over there conducting this the way that he is. And I love the way that Steve Kerr goes about it. It's a contrast even from Ime Udoka. Because Ime Udoka is like, hey, y'all are playing like some dumbasses right now.
You know,
and he's been able to get something out of this Celtics team since January with that approach.
It's a specific kind of jazz, too, Lawrence. Like, it's not the jazz where Count Basie's over there conducting an orchestra or Duke Ellington is writing out the charts for everybody and you do what he's told. It's Miles Davis, Kinda Blue, Cannonball Adderley, something else, like Blue Note jazz, where it's four or five dudes. Literally, they used to record around one microphone. And they'd all hang around that one microphone, and when it was somebody's turn to shine, you step in a little closer for your solo, you know? And then when it's somebody else, you back away and you do your job. But, like, that's what it is. It's everybody being aggressive when the moment calls for it and not being shy, but fully supporting the entire thing with one mic, just like there's one ball. So it's a specific brand in that way.
Finding those moments is so delicate too,
and he's good at that now, right?
He's
Wiggins is good at that, Danny, at like grabbing those moments out of the air and being like, oh, here I am, I guess I'll just fly down the floor and use the full power of my athleticism.
There's so much to it. Like, he had never had a game in his career where he had more than 11 rebounds until the last two games of the NBA finals, where he had
That's
16
crazy.
And 13.
That's
how wild
crazy.
Is that?
Games 4 and 5 of the finals. So, like, right, Draymond, who was great last night, Draymond Green, a player that they have paid and stood by, is playing the worst basketball of his life. Klay Thompson, a guy that they paid after a huge injury. Mm-hmm. Huge injury. Knew he was going to miss a season. Gave him a max. Didn't even think about it. Like, we don't talk about them like the Yankees used to get talked about, but they really have just decided, we're going to pay the luxury tax every year. We are going to be the most player-friendly organization in the league, and we are going to take care of our own. And so, like, they brought in KD, and then, oh, Andrew Wiggins has this huge contract? Yeah, but we could use the athleticism and the wing defense and athleticism portion of it to offset. We got enough shooting. We got enough leadership and professionalism. We could just use some raw talent. And so we'll take on the contract. And so he's asked to do something entirely differently there. So then when it happens to be, oh, yeah, we actually do need to kind of ask you to do in this particular set of circumstances against this younger, crazy athletic team, we actually need you to play a little bit more like you played in Minnesota. He knows how to do it, but he doesn't have to do it for 100 games. Mm-hmm. Like, it really is crazy, the patience being rewarded. And I was trying to think about, like, other guys who we're seeing the best of them, and it doesn't have to be at a direct comp of 9 or 10 years into their career, but, like, it's not the team that drafted him. And it's well beyond when any reasonable person, any reasonable fan, coach, general manager would have expected them to blossom. And now here he is. Like, he's...
Yeah, it's cool. It's a different kind of sleeper and success story, right? It's different. I heard Bernsey talking about it a little bit this morning. It's different than the second round NBA draft pick who has the solid chip on the shoulder and just proves it the whole way. This is the rewarded and decorated guy who figures out a way to stick around and still end up with moments like this.
And more than stick around. I mean, the guy got
usually
sure.
That guy doesn't find it. You know, like that particular, like, NBA guy doesn't usually find it the way that Wiggins has found it.
Because he also, like, wasn't necessarily incentivized to. Like, Andrew Wiggins has made $170 million. Hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in his pro career, before a single endorsement, like, He was good enough to get paid, but he wasn't good enough to get paid on a winner. And now he ends up on a winner, and he's producing it. Like Draymond was talking last night about it's the product of the power of the organization. He was always a winning player. He just wasn't in a winning place. And so once he finally finds the right spot, it's like the old Mitch Trubisky, Pat Mahomes thing. What would have happened if Mahomes would have been a Bear and Trubisky would have been a Chief?
Yeah. No, for sure. But basketball is more communal at its purest because there's so few players, and you have to perform at that kind of level in such close proximity and over again. It is culture that Kerr has built, and Ron Adams and Mike Brown and like all those guys, what they've built there is a pretty remarkable thing. When it's comfortable for a kid like Jordan Poole to grow and get more aggressive, when it's comfortable for Wiggins to do what you've been talking about, when it's comfortable for Andre Iguodala to come back and play just a fraction of minutes at a place where he was on Finals MVP and be totally cool with it, as far as we know, and like just do whatever he's got to do.
They benched Draymond the other night.
Yeah.
They just sat him. They're just like, you are the worst player on the floor.
And he was. A mile.
Yeah, by a mile. For some reason, you're so bad that we are going to bench you for Kevon Looney, and your own mother is going to call you out on Twitter, and everybody's going to agree that it was the correct thing to do. Like, that was insane. He was like a huge factor in game two, was the worst player maybe in the arena in game three and four, and then could have had a triple-double last night in game five. That was really weird. It was a really weird
that's
game.
That's who Draymond is as a player, though.
It is. Sometimes he's just freaking awful, and then sometimes he's like, oh, yeah, there it is, to the point that he's like driving and putting in little 8-foot floaters last night, and just everything looks so much more confident and comfortable. He's a fascinating species in terms of just a fascinating example of the species of like how that energy and how that edge makes him better on certain nights. It's quite something.
There was a play where it was like a give and go with him and Steph in the post. And it's a really subtle thing, but it's part of the reason I think that Draymond's really great. It's how he delivered the bounce pass to Steph driving to the lane. Steph ends up, I think, making the shot and getting a foul call. But it's knowing exactly where he wants the ball in that situation. And it wasn't like a fast break. Like a fast break where, okay, I'm going to bounce pass it and it'll be fine. It was a pocket pass with both defenders also in the zone. And him finding the one place where Steph was going to be able to get it and make something out of it. That's chemistry. Like, that's two guys who know each other. And seeing him be able to do that, man, it's the brilliance that is within his brain that sometimes can't come out because it's clouded because he's doing the I'm crazy thing.
Yeah.
When you see it play out in Draymond, you go, man, that guy is so far ahead of where other players are. Like, just what he's thinking about, where he wants his guy to get the ball. It's beautiful basketball when done well.
And shout out to the texter. As always, if we talk about Draymond long enough, someone will remind us that Tom Thibodeau wanted him and Garpax instead said Marcus Teague.
Yes.
Marcus Teague would be a better choice.
Yeah, that's aging poorly. Someone on Twitch mentioned Tyson Chandler. It's a pretty good one for, like,
Drafted that high,
that young, multiple teams, and then I just pulled up his basketball reference page. So he's drafted at 19, obviously, to the Bulls, and then when he's 29 on the Knicks, he leads the league in effective field goal percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so he had now, obviously, he wasn't like a volume scorer or anything, but the Knicks
found his spot.
The Knicks and the Suns in his like late 20s, early 30s. Got the best basketball of Tyson Chandler's life. And the Knicks, maybe not known as a great organization. Chris Paul did a lot, you know, like Phoenix, very good organization. They helped with his health and like able him to play more games and all of that.
Yeah.
That's not a bad one for a guy who early on you'd been like, is he out of the league in 5 years? And then he ends up playing for 20 years.
No, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And I'll tell you, man, I mean, Wiggins was a one and done. Chandler's right out of high school, as we know. He, Kwame Brown, and Eddie Curry, all in that top five as big men right out of high school. And this lends itself, the whole time we're having this conversation, back in my mind, I'm thinking about Patrick Williams. Who the hell knows what he's going to be in 6, 7, 8, 9 years? And I doubt it will be here. On a lesser level, Bobby Portis is an incredibly effective part of winning basketball culture in a way that you wouldn't have guessed necessarily over those first couple years. And even if you had guessed, you didn't really have the patience and the wherewithal to stick with it. It's such a tricky thing when you draft kids that young.
Yeah, and finding the place where you fit and finding like the energy that's surrounded by you where you're like, man, I like this. This is, I can live in this space. Bobby seems, I don't want to say he was ever uncomfortable here because it didn't seem that way, but he seems so comfortable with what they've done in Milwaukee. Like being his authentic self like all the time and finding and refining his game. It's great to see when players do that.
Because you're right, Speaks. Like, basketball is different than football, but I'm trying to think of other, like, cross-sport, late bloomer, you got to just stick with them because pros get better. Like, we tend to think about these guys as finished products.
Right, but they're not.
But it's weird. Like, we want them to be finished products, but we also draft for, like, ceiling and potential.
Drew Brees?
That are just, like, directly in conflict with each other. Yeah, Brees isn't bad. He didn't have, like, a ton of pre-New Orleans. How long was his, like, how many pass attempts does he have pre-New Orleans in his life?
He was in San Diego for a minute, right? Like, San Diego and, let's see.
Yeah.
Drew Brees.
You know, it happens.
Smith is a decent one.
Yeah, it happens in baseball a lot with pitchers. Sometimes there are injuries that derail it, but the kid on the Braves last year, the lefty flamethrower, Tyler Matzek, that's a top five pick by the Colorado Rockies in, I think, 2009. Doesn't even make his MLB debut till 2014 and then ends up being a Braves World Series and postseason hero in 2021. You know, so it happens a lot with pitchers where it doesn't work out and they have to reinvent and there might be injuries along the way. But I don't know if that's fair.
It's like almost 2,000 passes for Drew Brees in San Diego.
Yeah, 4 years with double-digit starts and then the first year he's in New Orleans, he leads the league in yards. Yeah, that's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good, like, and you're right. Aren't these the teams that we're jealous of as fans? Like, no matter what the sport is, you're jealous. You use the Braves, like, I used the Chiefs earlier in the NBA. It's the Warriors, the Heat. It's not just that there's one, but like, you know that if this guy goes there,
they'll get the most out of him.
They'll figure it out.
Whatever it is. If he's cooked and he can't work there, then we know he's cooked. And that's the last place of his career.
For a couple decades, it's been the Patriots. I don't know how true it is anymore, but there was a long time there where it was, well, they'll know what to do. Shea McClellan made a Pro Bowl in New England.
Right.
You know?
Those are the teams. Every sport's a little different, and guys get different amounts of time, and contracts being guaranteed, and all that. But like, those are the teams that you want to root for, because they're the healthiest, and they're the ones that like when what's player friendly? Those organizations. It's like this training staff and coaching staff will take my skills, and they will use them to their best. And now there's Andrew Wiggins, who, I mean, he's not going to win Finals MVP if they win, I don't think. But, like, he's been their second most valuable player.
Yeah. Okay. Shea McClellan did not make a Pro Bowl.
I didn't think so.
He won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. He won
a Super Bowl and
took a Super Bowl to Chicken Dinner Road.
Yeah. Okay. But he didn't make a Pro Bowl. Thank God. I got a little angry at the whole situation. By the way, how's Chandler Jones doing?
He's going to Canton.
Yeah, he is, right? He's probably going to go to Ken.
Yeah.
Whitney Merciless have a good career. Just checking in.
Sure did.
On Shane McClellan.
Good career. Not Canton, but good, very good career.
Very good career.
Very good career.
And what were the two numbers that he wore as a Bear?
Whitney Merciless?
No, Shane McClellan.
I was going to say, he didn't. McClellan was...
Can I guess?
50.
Go ahead.
50 and 99?
That is correct. He wore two Hall of Fame players' numbers in his time with your Chicago Bears.
It's so good to have Dan McNeil producing the show. It's amazing. It's,
good old number 50. Oh, man.
Baseball, very common. Our number two, Ryan Porth, texts in Andrew Miller. Andrew Miller was, a top five pick. It was supposed
That's
to be
a good
starter. Right? That's a real good one. Rich Hill. Another one in that realm who, years and years later figured it out. So
I'm disappointed that Ryan didn't give us a hockey person.
I'm sure he
has
one.
Person, or a Nashville hockey person, just to really clinch it.
Next, there'll be the Texas says, Pecorine!
We just all would take his word for it. Like, totally. Totally.
Pecorine.
That first organization.
Pecorine. I checked in on our guy Porth last night. First Chicagoland storm out there in the suburbs with a house. I'm sure they were running down to the basement and bailing water and such.
That was a thing, man.
I was driving north home and just like, man, traffic is really opening up. Oh, because people are abandoning the highway. It was crazy.
Just quitting on life.
They were just quitting the highway and seeking shelter, and then people had their blinkers on under overpasses, and I was like, I think I can make it. And I just kept going. It was dicey there for a minute, though. Sky got kind of green, and there was lightning seemingly right on top of me, like when the lightning and the thunder are like, bap, bap, right back to back. It was scary.
Yeah, that ain't right. It doesn't feel right. I'll tell you, man, in the 11th floor of the high-rise downtown, I mean, I'm watching the radar, and it never really, the eye of it never really came downtown. It was dancing around us.
Did you get a good light show, though? I always wonder when people are a little higher up, are they enjoying that?
I always feel a little guilty, or not always, but in certain moments like that, I wasn't sitting right next to the window. There was a moment where Ruben was right next to the window, and I'm like, why don't you come over this way? Why don't you come over this way? But it was I felt pretty safe.
That's good.
So I don't, I felt safe, and it was really fun to watch out the windows here downtown. But that's nothing
I went to
you
go
want
get
to say
the,
out loud.
The lawn furniture yesterday. I was like, yeah, I should probably bring this in. Because it's rare to hear the tornado siren in Hyde Park. And I was like, yeah. And then I started to see the wind. And it was crazy, seeing the cleanup. Like, seeing my neighbors, looking around and being like, oh, this was in such and such's yard. And now it's in such and such's yard. And trying to find some of the stuff that was out there. This is wild, man. And then when you went to Wrigley and you looked up, it was like a yellow sky.
So crazy. So crazy. That storm just hanging around on the edge of that warm front, which has now engulfed us in flames, right? Is that correct?
I feel like this is normal. Isn't it normal for Chicago to get a tornado followed by 99 degrees with 100% humidity?
But but it's not normal to the day before that it being 50 degrees.
It's pretty damn Chicago.
I'm sure
I went outside
fine.
And I went outside and I saw a few different things that were just on fire, and it was actually cooler over there by the fire.
Yeah, I'm sure it's totally fine. Chip Carey on the show today at 3:00. Mark Grody from Hallis Hall at 4:00, and Speaks. Tell him who's coming on at 5:00.
Former White Sox pitching coach Don Cooper joins the show at 5:00. Talked to Coop on the phone today. That's fun. We're doing this thing as a show where we just kind of blurt out names we think are interesting. And Shane's really aggressive and good. This just happened during transition. I saw that Rod Marinelli is at Bears practice today. And he's going to be addressing the team tomorrow. He's coming on with us tomorrow at 4:00.
Oh, nice. I haven't even checked my texts.
How great is that? You know, like Shane's hustling. We're all being aggressive and trying to think of good ideas and just doing what we can. So looking forward to it. Chip Carey, Lawrence, is because everybody keeps saying, well, the Braves turned it on last year. Why can't the White Sox? Were the Braves playing this kind of baseball last year? Let's discuss, shall we?
Chip Carey.
I don't think so.
No.
Let's let him answer, okay? Don't step on the tees.
Oh, yeah, good call.
Don't step on the tees.
It's a good point. It's good radio right there.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, welcome back, man. Sorry you weren't able to take a White Sox vacation, but you got a vacation from everything else, I hope.
Yep. And the White Sox play that awful Detroit team again tonight. So, yay.
They do. They do. We will be again discussing some of the drama around that and where they go from here. Tanny's Open kicks us off. Have a good one, Lawrence. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.